did in choir, Concordia St. Paul College. Very fitting, I think, to our gospel lesson. If you didn't hear the words, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, for the time is drawing nigh, it's drawing near. Right? Christian journey soon will be over, the time is drawing nigh, time is drawing near. And that is the point of our gospel lesson. It's always nice when Jesus just tells us what the point is. He says it in verse 13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Who were the wise virgins? Rather, a better translation might be bridesmaids, as they're waiting for the groom to come. They were the ones who had their lamps trimmed and burning. They had the oil to keep the lamps burning. And so we see that parallel in the Christian life, that we are prepared for Jesus to return as our bridegroom through faith in him. This is the oil that keeps us burning, keeps us shining as lights in a dark world, holding fast to the word of life. So first and foremost, this parable is a lesson on perseverance in the faith. Unfortunately, in a lot of our Reformed churches, there's the belief that once you're saved, you're always saved, that you never need to be concerned again about your salvation. And this is just not in Scripture. Well, there are some verses that give us security that God will complete the good work he began in us, and that the Holy Spirit is our deposit guaranteeing our eternal life to come. There are also clear scriptures, including the parables that we have today, that make it very clear that just because you have faith now does not mean you will have faith in the future. Many examples in the Bible of people who once were believers, but then they fell away, like King Saul himself, and even Solomon, who fell away as his wives led him into idolatry. The Israelites fell away. In the book of Amos, they're being reprimanded because they were wanting the day of the Lord to come, right? And the day of the Lord was God's judgment day. Back then, it would have been the day of judgment on the enemies. They were hoping God would judge their enemies, the Assyrians, or whoever they were. But what they didn't know is that the real enemies were themselves, because they had forgotten God. They had gone away from the faith and the true God. And it resulted to violence and oppression of the poor, immorality, and all those sorts of things. And so they were hoping for the day of the Lord, but God's saying, why would you do that? Do you not realize that's a day of judgment for the unbeliever? And yet for the believer, it's a day of great joy and of great comfort, right? The bridesmaids that had their oil had nothing to fear. It was eager anticipation for the bridegroom to come. They couldn't wait for him to come, even though physically they couldn't stay awake for that many hours. And still they were excited when he finally showed up, right? And they didn't have to worry about, well, I wonder if he's going to let me in. I don't know. They knew. As long as they had oil in their lamps, they'd be welcomed to the marriage feast that would come. Paul writes in Thessalonians, because Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That's another word the Bible uses for dying. Right? The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, when Jesus returns, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. the assurance that we have since Jesus rose from the dead, we know that Jesus is alive. And Jesus is alive, and death couldn't hold him, and the devil couldn't defeat him. We know nothing will stop him from coming back and fulfilling his promise to bring us back with him, to make a new heavens and a new earth, where we will be with him forever. And yet, we know now there is temptation for us to doubt that promise. There's temptation for us to go back on it, on his word that he's so clearly told to us so many times. It is just amazing looking through Matthew how many times Jesus tells and warns his disciples to stay awake. If you just look at the context of our passage in chapter 24, he refers to the days of the flood, right? People were eating and drinking and having merry time. And what happened? All of a sudden this big flood showed up and swept them away. It was unexpected. Not even Noah knew exactly when. But he knew it was going to come because God had told him this is going to happen. And he tried to tell other people that it was going to happen. And they said, "No, you're ridiculous building that ark." And Jesus ends that story by saying, "Stay awake, for you do not know the day your Lord is coming." And then he tells a story about a thief breaking into a house. He says, "Hey, if the guy, the owner of the house, knew when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake so that the thief wouldn't have broken in." And he ends by saying, "So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And he tells yet another story of a master of a household who leaves on a journey, puts his servants in charge of his household, and goes away. And what do the servants think? "Our master is delayed. He's not coming back." So they get into drunkenness and carousing. And the master returns unexpected. Says he cuts them into pieces. He says the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know. It's unexpected. It's clear, right? Two things that are crystal clear. This day is an unexpected day, even for believers, even for the wise maidens, the wise virgins. It was a day, it was an hour that they didn't know when he would come, right? They were asleep. It was a surprise. And yet we also know that those believers will be a day of great joy, a day of great comfort and celebration. But for the unbeliever, a day of great sorrow and anguish. Not just on a day, but lasting for eternity. Why would God talk about this so much? It's because once that day comes, there will be no turning back. There will be no, wait. Okay, I get it now. I won't be able to do that. "Oh, I believe in you now, Jesus, wait. Wait, no, I just, you know. My friend was sick, and I didn't want to think about it, or, you know, I had problems at work, and I really had to figure that out first, or, oh, my mom was really sick. I've just been treated so poorly, I've been trying to fix my life." You got to understand Jesus, right? No excuses are going to work on that day. There's nothing that we can say that foolish maidens trying to knock on the door, right? Lord, open to us. That's the terrifying answer of Jesus that he says, "I did not know you." Right? "I do not know you." And there's no other happy ending to that story for those people. Right? So people who always want to say that, "Oh, it'll be okay, everything will turn out all right." Well, we know on this day everything will not turn out all right for those who do not believe in Jesus, for those unprepared. And so, what is the most important thing in your life right now? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it a sports team? Is it money? Is it a relationship? What will happen if those things don't get awry? Well, some temporary pain. What happens if this is messed up? Eternal consequences. Do you see how blessed we are to have Jesus remind us of this constantly? Some people say, oh, we got like a month and a half of the end times. I'm so sick of the end times, as we seem to talk about it so much of this season. But yet it is so important for us as Christians, isn't it? Our whole lives are shaped around this belief of Jesus returning and what it will mean for both us and those who do not know Him. Not only an encouragement to our own faith, but then an encouragement that the time is also to share our faith with those who do not know. Jesus will come. I got to see a Little Mermaid play at Casson High School. You guys seen this play? No, you guys have. Really great play. Classic show, but really amazing. And I couldn't help but wonder all the things that they must have had to go into getting ready for this play, right? There's the costumes, over 200 costumes, the designers, the choreographers for all the dances, the orchestra, and their own pit orchestra, all the rehearsals of the actors and actresses rehearsing their lines over and over again, and then putting it all together, and then having all the organization, right, the advertising and the flyers, and they had a meal before, really nice caterers. All that preparation, why? For the day of the performance, because it was an important day. You know what would happen if there was no preparation? Would not have gone well that day, right? Not gone well that day. They would have like got up and said, line. And the orchestra would have been playing with them, and they would be like singing. Who knows what, maybe Katy Perry, and they're like, hey, what is this, right? This is not good at all. This is disaster, right? And so you see clearly, even in our own lives, how much we go to prepare for those things that we value, right? And we see the difference that it makes. The difference it would make for someone if they chose to simply never rehearse their lines or never practice their music. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, you're chosen. You got to go out there. What would they do? So we see even more on this day when Jesus will come back. How much more should we prepare for this day? Not that we're earning God's grace by doing all these great things. But we want Jesus to keep us awake. We want Jesus to keep us sober-minded. Because we know we're so bent on going back to ourselves, going back to other things in our lives, and thinking that that is more important than the day of Jesus' return. And so we see from our gospel reading what it means and what it doesn't mean to be prepared. The ones prepared had the oil, right? The interesting thing about this parable is that the people who were foolish, they had oil too, didn't they? They had the oil. What was the problem? They ran out. They ran out. Why? Because they thought the bridegroom was delayed. Was the bridegroom really delayed? No, he arrived at the precise moment he wanted to arrive. The Christians think, oh, Jesus is taking forever. You know, come on, Jesus. Is it really because he's delayed? Is something holding him up? Right? Someone like holding him down, saying, No. Jesus is going to come on the exact day and hour that he has planned to come. And it's only in our feelings that we feel that he's delayed and that he's not remembering his promise. Those bridesmaids were with other people that thought like them. Did that save them? No. There was other foolish people who were telling them, yeah, you're right, he's delayed. Don't worry, we'll have enough oil. You know? Didn't work. They were with wise people. They were with the wise bridesmaids who had brought oil. Did that work for them? Please give us some of your oil. Wait, I know these wise people. They were prepared. Is that going to save me? No. It is our own faith individually. We can't say we knew someone whose faith. We can't say you knew pastor. Wait. We can't say, wait, I went to a Christian church. No, the only thing that will save us is faith. There won't be time to go and buy more oil. There won't be time to repent when that day comes. There's only one way to be prepared. And that's a faith relationship with Jesus, which he began in us in baptism, and which he desires to strengthen in you every time you come and gather around his word and give thanks and praise him. You're strengthening your faith. You're filling your lamp. And it keeps it burning. It gives you confidence to go out into the dark world where often there is no light and so many foolish people. Paul says in Thessalonians chapter 5, put on the breastplate of faith and love and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not destine us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So think about it this way. As you go to plan your weeks, that our ultimate hope isn't in how my stocks do. It's not in how I'm treated at work. It's not in how things go with my family. My ultimate hope is that I know Jesus will return one day and give me a new resurrected body that I'll live forever. That's my number one hope of the week. My number one source of comfort is that I'm a forgiven child of God, and that I can stand and be with Jesus forever, and that I have eternal life with him. It's not how well my relationships go. It's not my financial state. It's not that I really hope that I get that good news that I'm hoping for. My number one priority in the week is that my faith in Jesus Christ is nurtured. Not all those other things. Right? See the idea? This is the most important thing. And when that's the most important thing, all those other things that we think are so important take care of themselves. Because now we can look on them with the right attitude, and we have the right foundation. Our life, our trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. The time is drawing nigh when your hope in Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. His name. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.